This documentary, entitled Left of the Field, was written and produced by Paul Jenkins and Aileen Marin for Wired FM. It was brought to you by the Broadcasting Commission of Ireland and funded by the Sound and Vision Scheme. Left of the Field is a documentary based on minority sports. Everybody knows about sports like GAA, rugby and soccer. These are sports with a massive fan base, but there are many lower profile sports being played in Limerick, such as rowing, volleyball, American football and triathlon. This programme will see how people have come to be involved in these sports, how they fare with as regards funding and support compared to more mainstream sports, and the reaction of people when they tell them about their sporting code of choice. Rowing has been a sport in Ireland for the best part of 200 years. In the first half of the 19th century, rowing was primarily based around the ports of Dublin, Waterford, Cork, Limerick, Derry, Coleraine, Belfast and Drogheda. Today there are more than 60 rowing clubs in Ireland spread throughout the country. Despite the growing numbers, rowing can still be classed as a minority sport with a low profile. Some would argue an unjustifiably low profile given the achievements made in the sport at an international level over the past couple of years.
My name is Rachel Meehan. My main interest is rowing. I'm also a fourth year student in University of Limerick and I am currently the women's captain in the boat club there. Rowing is kind of big in my family, but I myself didn't actually start until I was in third year in college, and I was kind of roped into it by a friend and then got hooked on it and couldn't stop. It's fairly big in Limerick, but insofar as that it doesn't get a lot of coverage in the media and isn't known by a lot of people outside the rowing community, then I would say yeah, it is. But there is actually quite a few clubs in Limerick and it is quite a big sport to be in. Training is fairly extensive. Basically, we start off our winter training, basically just building up fitness and strength. We train every day. We do combinations of like cardio workout and we do on the waters then at weekend. Then once our regatta season starts around April, we start doing more kind of speed work on the water and technique sessions on the water, getting faster and more technical for the race season. And that follows through right up until middle of July. And then we stop for the month of August and start it all over again in September. Depending on what type of crew you're in, the biggest crew you can be in is an eight. In the eight, you would have your stroke seat, which sits in the stern of the boat. And basically, the stroke basically sets the pace. She's normally the fittest and strongest person in the crew. Everyone basically has to follow her. So if she decides that she wants to rate 40 strokes a minute, no one has any choice but to follow her. She is has to be very technical seat, very controlled slide and controlled power. The seven seat then backs up that stroke seat. They work as a kind of a pair to control the rest of the crew behind them, to make sure that they don't rush into them, to make sure that they keep a steady rate, and basically make sure that they keep a rate that's, you know, can be followed. Then there's six, five, four and three are generally the powerhouse. They're the people, they sit in the middle of the boat. They're generally the bigger crew, the stronger. They are the engine that drives the boat. Then there is two and bow. They sit at the very back of the boat and they are to tie up the sheer power that's in the middle of the boat. Now they're powerful and fit as well. I mean, God, everyone in rowing crew is fit and powerful, but their main job, they had to be really technical because they have six blades in front of them that they need to follow and they need to keep time with. And that's actually very, very difficult. And you need to have good rhythm, good technique, good power, good fitness to be able to keep up. Then there's the coxswain. And the coxswain is the brain of the boat, say. Her job or his job is basically to scream at the crew and shout encouragement, shout calls, let them know where they are in a race, let them know what they've left to do. They basically make all the big calls. People tend to be impressed, actually. They tend to say, like, you know, oh my God, that's really hard, or, you know, oh, you must train an awful lot. People have this association with rowing that, like, you do train an awful lot and, you know, it's really hard, and fitness-wise, you need to be very, very fit. And it's true, like, you do, but, I mean, to start rowing, you don't. I mean, you can start off not being fit and, like, gain fitness and gain technique and everything, but like, people generally tend to be quite impressed when you say that you're a rower. I think it's the commitment involved in it that they're kind of, you know, you have to kind of be there for your crew. You have to show up. You have to train every day. So it's the commitment involved, I think, that impresses people. Rowing is a very expensive sport, which a lot of people outside the rowing community say wouldn't understand. I mean, our boat that we bought last year, a Vespoli women's lightweight 8, that cost about 20 grand. I mean, it's hard enough to maintain them. They're made of fiberglass, so they're light on the water and things like that. But like, if you crash it, I mean, they scratch very easily and they need to be repainted, repolished. I mean, it's very easy to put a hole. If you carry it out wrong and it hits off something, it's broken and that's it. Like if you fall out and it crash, and especially the smaller boats, like they can snap in half very easily if they get caught in something. They're hard to maintain and they're expensive to maintain as well. It's expensive sport, and when, especially being a student club, I mean, we find it very hard to fund that. I mean, there's only so much money the Students' Union can give you, you know, for going away to events and things like that. It is hard to find funding. All in all, I'd say people are quite interested in sponsoring us and things like that if they know about it and if they know what they're sponsoring and things like that. It's not the type of sport that people really understand. Rugby and football, they draw masses of crowds because people understand the sport, people follow it, people, you know, they support it, but they support it mainly because they understand the rules, they understand what's going on, and they, you know, they become connected to their team. Whereas with rowing, it's, you know, unless you're part of a club, you are, you know, have some connection to it, it's hard to support a club. I mean, you wouldn't find UL students saying, oh, come on, the rowing club, do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Whereas a lot of UL students would support the UL football team or the UL rugby team. I'd like to think that it will. I don't see it happening in the near future. I think like maybe a billion gold medals would need to be won in the Olympics. Rowing is a great sport. I'd like it to get more recognition within the media, like for people to step up and recognise international rowers that have gone out and rowed for their country on, you know, international levels in the world and things like that, and, you know, get more recognition for what they do.
Triathlon is an endurance sport event consisting of swimming, cycling and running over various distances. As a result, proficiency in swimming, cycling and running alone is not sufficient to guarantee a triathlon athlete a competitive time. Trained triathlon athletes have learned to race each stage in a way that preserves their energy and endurance for subsequent stages. In most modern triathlons, these events are placed back-to-back in immediate subsequence, and a competitor's official time includes the time required to transition between the individual legs of the race, including any time necessary for changing clothes and shoes.
My name is Brian Jenkins, and the sport I do is triathlon. Triathlon is an individual sport where competitors swim, bike and run in that order. 1500 meter swim, straight into a 40 kilometer bike, and straight into a 10k run. I became involved in the sport because there was a local club nearby and I liked the idea of combining more than one activity. I did a little bit of running before. They're usually very surprised to hear. A lot of people, well, less and less people now don't know what it was. When I started first, when you said to people, they'd ask, what was it? What was the distance and all that? Now more and more people know what it is, and just more interested about where you're, what your kind of position you're in, and how good you are, and how often you race, and what type of training you do. More and more people know what it is now, because the sport has grown so much over the last 5 or 6 years. It went from where local or even national races would have struggled to have 40 or 50 entrants. Races are turning people away at 400 entrants. And there's a race in a couple of weeks' time, it's supposed to have over 1,000 entrants. So the word minority sport isn't going to apply much longer, I don't think. Well, as a full-time athlete at the moment, training consists of up to 30 hours a week. And from a professional elite side of things, swimming and running are more important, so more time is spent on those, maybe 12 hours a week swimming, possibly 8 hours a week biking, and another 7 or 8 hours running, and a couple of hours in the gym. At an elite level, the standard in Ireland would be very low. There'd be two or three athletes competing on a world and European level, and then there'd be maybe six or seven athletes who would compete irregularly at European and World Cup level. This year now they're hoping to have two competitors at the Olympic Games, one male and one female. And if they do that, then there'll be a lot more funding will become available through the Irish Sports Council. We could see a lot more athletes competing at that level. A lot of people get into triathlon, especially at an amateur level. They get into it in their 30s and 40s, when really, from a competitive elite point of view, they're already past their peak. What needs to happen is clubs and coaches and all need to be more active. Introducing people to sport at 7, 8, 9 years of age, introducing them to the techniques and the skills, so that by the time they're into their teenage years, they're able to start building their endurance, instead of people coming into the sport at 20 and trying to make up for all the lost time. At the moment it's very hard because I have some of my own local sponsors that I had to go out and find myself. I had to go out and find my own local area. I also keep sending reports to local newspapers and radio stations and all, hoping that somebody will hear the name and have a few pounds to offer to help support me. More and more now the sports council have set out criteria for athletes to be to come onto their scheme, and they'd be funded then on that. And that's the criteria I'm hoping to achieve now this year. Also, if we do qualify athletes for the Olympics, a lot more funding will become available. Having my own club, is Limerick Triathlon Club, has given me a lot of support. They've helped negotiate with UL for me to have free use of all the facilities over there. So I now train with the Irish swim squad. Swim with them every day. They have a new Belgian coach in who's very good, and we have free use of the rest of the facilities. There's strength and conditioning coaches. Then we have the NCTC, where all the science testing can be done, sports science support. It's made a huge difference, because before that I actually moved away from Limerick because there wasn't the facilities or the coaching knowledge to stay here and train. But now it all seems to be coming together. My long-term ambition for myself, well, I'd love to qualify for the Olympics in London in 2012. That'd be the dream. Coming back from that, European Championships are in Ireland in 2010, and I'd love to compete there and get a good finish there. Back to more immediate goals then is to get on the Sports Council funding scheme. Just be competitive at a European level is my first then, race of the European Championships. Sports popularity is going to increase hugely after this Olympics in Beijing 2008 with our two athletes there. It happened in 2000 when triathlon was first introduced to the Olympics. The numbers in Ireland, even though we didn't have a representative, just shot up, increased tenfold, and I see the same thing happening again, even more so now that we're going to have athletes competing there. I think the coaches need to be developed a lot more in Ireland, because at the moment there's only a handful of qualified coaches. I think triathlon Ireland need to offer more courses so more coaches are qualified. And then there needs to be talent scouts put in. Schools programs need to be set up to bring athletes in at a younger age, and then we can move on from there. Work it, make it, do it, makes us all the better, faster, stronger. That don't kill me.
American football, known in the United States simply as football, is a competitive team sport known for mixing strategy with intense physical play. The object of the game is to score points by advancing the ball into the opposing team's end zone. The ball can be advanced by carrying it or by throwing it to a teammate. Points can be scored in a variety of ways, including carrying the ball over the goal line, catching a pass from beyond the goal line, tackling an opposing ball carrier in his own end zone, or kicking the ball through the goalpost on the opposing side. The winner is the team with the most points when time expires at the end of the last play.
My name is Gavin Grace, and I'm a former coach of the UL Vikings American football team. Yeah, I can remember pretty much everything. It was 2006, and the previous 2 years I had played with them, and we weren't very successful, but the year that I took over, we were lucky in many ways, and with a good staff and a good support around me, we had a good season. We beat the defending league champions in our first game 20-0 in UL, and we went unbeaten at home all season. We finished third in the league, which was third out of 8 teams at the time, and we went to Carrickfergus for our semi-final to take on the Knights, beat them in a a brilliant Sunday afternoon and a great, great day. And then we played in 2 weeks later up in Dublin. We played the Dublin Rebels, and unfortunately we were beaten in the Shamrock Bowl, but it was a great season nonetheless. We were pretty intensive. If we had a game on a Sunday, which we would have had 8 weeks out of 10, then we would have trained. We would have on Monday probably a light training session with a kind of a tactics meeting, and then Tuesday and Thursday would have been a more physical session, and on the Saturday before the game, another tactical session, walking through our plays, making sure that we knew exactly what we were going to do the day afterwards. So 5 days out of seven, you'll be doing something, and a lot of guys then as well will go lift weights in their own time or do some working out. So we trained as much as any other sport in college. As I always say to people, it's very similar to rugby. The aim is to either kick a ball through posts or to run it into what's called the end zone. It's 7 points for a touchdown that's converted, and it's 3 points for a field goal. The only difference with rugby is that when you tackle, the game stops and you can also throw the ball forwards. It is technical in many ways, but it's simple at the same time. The easiest way to learn is just watch it. Every sport has got a certain amount of danger in it, and I'd be lying if I said that nobody gets hurt in American football, but as you know yourself, I mean, you've got the padding, you've got all the gear and stuff, and with the right training and with the right amount of practice, you know how to look after yourself. You look back to about 10 years ago in the late 1990s, the sport was in a bit of a downhill. There was very little TV coverage of the NFL over here, and the league actually in Ireland closed for a couple of seasons, but it came back in the year 2000, and at the moment you can see in the amount of teams that are starting and the amount of teams that are playing full time in Ireland that the sport is definitely on and up. It's a start. I mean, it's the first time that it's been shown on terrestrial TV in Ireland here for over 20 years, so I think you've also got to look at Sky Sports as well. To be fair, they show games every week live. They show more NFL games than they do Premiership games. So, I mean, for people who want to see the sport now, they can, and it's great for the sport that you can do that. The way the system in UL works, it's different for other clubs across the country, but as a UL is a college team, the gear and the padding and such, it's owned by the team, and the players just use it and give it back. So the funding for that came from the UL Students Union from day one. So I would say that, you know, without them, obviously, it wouldn't happen. To buy, I think it was 40 sets of gear, worked around somewhere in the region of, I believe, £8,000 at the time or something along those lines. I could be over-exaggerating there. I'm not 100% sure, but there was certainly a large kickback given. And while it was all paid back in the form of a loan, without the support from the college, it couldn't happen. You've also got the Irish Sports Council now, who in recent years have stepped in and given the sport a few pound among grants and stuff like that, which has gone to help coaching and has gone to help youth development, which is all great for the sport in general. I'd like to see a college league formed. As a sport, there's no reason that it shouldn't take off in colleges across the country. Colleges where there are a lot of people who are, you know yourself, pretty savvy, pretty worldwide, and can see these games and understand the sport and have played the computer games and what have you. The interest is there. You've got colleges like DCU have recently started a team, Carlow IT, NUIG in Galway. They're all starting teams and they're all getting there, and I'd love to see a college league form, or at the very least some sort of college tournament to try and boost the profile of the sport amongst colleges across the country. And I'd like to see as well a representational team with Ireland going on to European championships and stuff along those lines, which they do take place, and there's no reason it shouldn't happen. If you look in America, it's obviously massive. It's their number one sport. The Super Bowl is a quasi-national holiday at this stage. It'll never be that big here. Let's be honest. Attempts have been made to form leagues here across Europe, and they've succeeded in many levels. The main focus of the sport will always be on America because of the nature of the NFL over there. People who want to watch it can watch it, and it's growing, but it will never be as big as soccer or what have you. But I'd like to see it get television coverage and hopefully have a strong league here in Ireland. It's a sport that people of all shapes and sizes, they've got a role in it. You know, you don't have to be small and quick, but you don't have to be big and strong. You know, a mix of them all obviously helps. But general fitness does help, obviously, with every sport. I mean, people look at the game and they see there's a lot of pauses and a lot of stoppages, and they think that it's a bit of a wimps game and rugby with pads, but it's not true. It is much more physically intensive than rugby, and you do need to be physically fit. I would say definitely get involved for starters. It's a great sport. As regards team sports, it's technical and complex, and it's also a great round of fun. If most of the teams get on, general nice guys, and you know yourself, team atmosphere, you'll make friends, you'll enjoy it immensely. For people who want to check it out, I'd say go online. The www.iafl.info is the league's website, and that will have information about how to get in contact with your local teams. There's teams in Limerick, Cork, Dublin and up north, with other ones forming across the country, so there's going to be one near you somewhere. If you want to play, you can, and definitely do it.
cause it's Louis Vuitton dine night. So we gon' do everything the kind like. Heard they do anything for a Klondike. Well, I'll do anything for a blind. And she'll do anything for the limelight. And we'll do anything when the time's right. Baby, you're making it.
That don't kill me. Can only make me stronger. I need you to hurry up now. Cause I can't wait much longer. I know I got to be right now. Cause I can't get much stronger. Man, I've been waiting all night now. That's how long I've been on ya. Like I never told ya. Don't act like I 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 told ya. Baby, you're making it
better, faster, stronger.
That don't kill me. Can only make me stronger.
Volleyball is an Olympic team sport in which two teams of six active players, separated by a high net, each try to score points against one another by grounding a ball on the other team's court. The complete rules of volleyball are extensive, but in general, play proceeds as follows. Points are scored by grounding the ball on the opponent's court or when the opponent commits a foul. The first team to reach 25 points wins the set, and the first team to win 3 sets wins the match. Teams can contact the ball no more than 3 times before the ball crosses the net, and consecutive contacts must be made by different players. The ball is usually played with the hands or arm, but players can legally strike or push the ball with any part of the body. True time volleyball has developed into involve common techniques of spiking, passing, blocking and setting, as well as specialised player positions and offensive and defensive structures. Because many plays are made above the top of the net, vertical jumping is an athletic skill emphasised in volleyball.
My name is Eleanor McSherry and I'm a mature student here in Mary Eye. I'm older than 21. I'm from Limerick. I started playing volleyball when I was in fifth class in school. We played catch and throw volleyball. I was 11 and I've been playing ever since. When we started playing volleyball in the 70s, it wasn't heard of outside of school. You'd watch it in the Olympics, and that was how I knew. Nobody else I knew was playing it. We were only playing in school because one of the nuns from the Salesians, they've convents all over the world, and she came back and was really enthusiastic about starting it. But it also started, as I think the year before we started, as a sport for community games. So we played community games as well as school volleyball. The development of volleyball in Ireland at the moment, they have a full-time development officer. It's bigger in the East Coast and in Cork than it would be in the rest of the country. There's very few teams outside there because A, they have the funding. But a lot of colleges, there's a Blitz in UCD, UL play it. It's really more of a college sport, but with more people coming in the country from Europe and more European countries coming here, it's huge in Europe. So I can see that it'll probably, with immigration, that it'll probably increase, take a bit of time to take off with the Irish. There's 6 players on each team. Each player in the much higher standard game, each player has a position. You start at the first 3 people at the net is 1, 2 and 3. The middle person at the front of the net is the setter, and the setter sets up the ball. You can only touch the ball 3 times at your side of the net before it goes back over. So you have 3 touches, but you can only touch the ball once yourself. So I'd pass it to somebody else, they'd pass it back to me and I'd hit it over the net. You have the 2 basic moves are the volley and the smash, which is the big wacky one, as we used to call it. I mean, you have to stay inside the court. They're the rules. I mean, there are more complicated rules, but that's the basic rules of the game. We used to train 3 or 4 nights a week. Which was a kind of a break from study at the time. And as I got older, it was ended up being very social. So there is a lot of training. But in saying that, I played tennis and I played basketball, I played hockey. It's just as much as you would for any of those sports, except the difference with it is it's not like tennis where you have to be a certain build. There was a team out in Nina and they were all housewives. They wouldn't be your typical athletic looking people, but any size can play it, any height. That's the great thing about it. The skills that we learnt, because we learnt them so young, we used to have great crack all the time. So because I enjoyed it, I didn't find that it was hard work. So I wouldn't have considered myself particularly good, though I did get a trial with the Irish team. But in saying that, because it's a minority sport, lots of people got trials with the Irish team. I wouldn't say that it takes very long. Once you know the basics, you can actually get quite good fairly fast. So that's the great thing about it compared to other sports. Beach volleyball, the difference between that and indoor volleyball, as we call it, is that A, you have two people on either side for the beach volleyball. You have six aside for the indoor volleyball or the Olympic volleyball. The attire is different. For indoor volleyball, you wear shorts and a t-shirt, whereas for beach volleyball, it's swimsuits generally. And you're playing on sand. And believe me, you're knackered playing on sand. But in beach volleyball as well, you have to, where you have your three moves, there's only two of you there. It's a slightly smaller court. It's generally played in other countries other than Ireland because A, we don't really have the weather, but it is played on the East Coast during the summer. So after they laughed for about 10 minutes, the people's reactions were fairly, they were okay about it. People were interested because it wasn't a usual sport. People watch volleyball on the Olympics. So, you know, and, you know, these big German women and Cubans and everything played. So it's not a usual sport for Ireland, you know. So I cannot see that volleyball would get as big a recognition as GAA or rugby, because with any minority sport, unless you have people who are competing in the Olympics or in these big occasions, it's like any sport where there's few people playing it in the country, like archery or those. I can't see how it's going to get the recognition, but they're fighting away every day, and the men's team is starting to do quite well internationally. And once we start breaking into Europe, you know, hopefully we'll see an Irish team with these big competitions, and maybe people will be interested in playing. It's a great sport to play because of the simple reason that it's kind of the rock and roll of sports, because it's cool and you can play it on the beach. And as well as that, not very many people play it, but it brings everybody in. You're at the same level as everybody else, but I think it'll be more integrating with other countries and stuff like that. But once we start getting good, I don't think it'll get the same recognition as the other bigger sports, but it'll get there eventually, you know.
Wired FM would like to thank everybody who is involved in the making of Sideline Times. This documentary was produced by Wired FM in conjunction with the Broadcasting Commission of Ireland Sound and Vision Funding Scheme.